Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Ever had that happen? How are you doing today? Just don't ask. Don't ask. Why? Because I don't really want to talk about it. Usually that means that there's something going on in life that you don't feel really comfortable about. You know, there's some things happening, and you know, just don't ask. Why? Because it's too stressful. It's too much drama. Well, there are some questions in our spiritual walk that we should be asking. And last week, we talked about eternal judgment. And it's for some folks, it can be a very uncomfortable topic. And the reason I brought this up is because we've got two big fallacies that we have to dispel because for us as Christians, and I'm presenting it from us as in a Christian perspective here. Last week we looked at this thought. Some people feel that in the two common misconceptions are that, number one, our deeds are judged, and if we have lived good enough, our deeds, or the judgment of our deeds, will give us access into heaven. That's incorrect. That's not theologically sound. That's not our entrance into heaven. And the second one is as believers, some people think that because we've received Christ, that we escape any form of judgment. Well, that's not correct either. And so there's several judgments in Scripture, but I want to focus on two main that we've unpacked last week. If you weren't here, go online. And please listen to that. But just quick review. Everybody say everyone. Everyone's going to face some form of judgment. We talked about that. In fact, everyone's actions will be judged. But your entrance into heaven is not based upon judging your good deeds in comparison to your bad deeds, or to get a certain number or a certain quota or a certain percentage. And unfortunately, that's probably the biggest misconception that our society has in general. You go to the rank and file person, just the average Joe on the street, and say, hey, how are you doing? Hey, what does it take to get into heaven? They're going to say, live a good life. So that's a fallacy. The New Testament clearly teaches that our entrance to heaven is based of our accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And so last week we unpacked Ephesians chapter 2, how we're saved by grace through faith, and that being washed in Jesus' blood is what makes us right in God's sight, gang. Okay, we got to get back to some very, very important core theology. Jesus absorbed the full penalty for our sin. It's not because we said, hey, we're sorry, therefore, bam, there's that penalty went away. You know, has anybody in this room ever sinned? Okay, has anybody in this room, you know, if you've sinned and you've said, hey, I'm sorry, please forgive me. It's not that the punishment for sin went away. That's a fallacy. Jesus absorbed the full, everybody say full, the full penalty for our sin. And so for many of us, we walk along around and throughout our lives with, we forget how important Jesus is to us. I needed Jesus the day I got saved, but as if I don't need him every day since? No, gang. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. We need Jesus. As the songwriter said, people need the Lord. And in terms of our sin, there's two things. Either you pay it, or you allow Christ to pay it. Either you pay the penalty for sin, or we allow Christ. The great thing is that when we accept Jesus, when we have accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord, He then allows us to be washed in His blood, and we stand as righteous. And that's important. So we have to begin our conversation with this thought that we are righteous by faith, okay? We are righteous by faith. Now, look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 through 50. We've got just several verses we're going to go through today. Jesus is talking, and he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like... Now, he's talking about the kingdom of... What does it say here? Fifth word. The kingdom of heaven. So he's talking... What is Jesus talking about? The kingdom of earth? He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. Big old smelly fish. Okay? So it will be at the close of the age. So he's making kind of an analogy here, okay? He's saying, so it's going to be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the... Did it say the evil from the good? Did it say the good and the bad? It said the evil from the... And throw them into the fiery furnace. So the evil are going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. And that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there's some important things. So how are we righteous? Not how are we good. How are we righteous? How does God look at us and see us as righteous? Because I got to tell you, my knees are knocking a little bit. As I look at myself and I look at my life, I'm thinking, do I make the cut? And I hope that all of us have some sense of healthy tension. Because there's a lot of really good people in this room. Wonderful people. I love you. You know, if I had my choice of who to hang out with, you're who I would hang out with. Most of you. Notice I said most of you. I'm just teasing. I'd hang out with all of you. But look at Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 22. Paul writes some cool things. Now understand, this is Paul. Paul who was raised up, you know, in this pharisaical teaching. Paul who's the guy who is like the Jew among Jews. He is the guy all about the law for, you know, the majority of his life. And then he meets Jesus. He has this encounter with Jesus that knocks him on the ground. And he has scales that cover his eyes. And he's got this tremendous experience that happens. And now look what Paul, the law guy, says. But now the righteousness of God, being right in God's eyes, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. This is awesome. You want some homework of what to do this week? Go through the book of Romans and take out a pencil or a highlighter and circle every time in the book of Romans you see the word righteous or righteousness and you'll be blown away. It's a constant theme. How are we right in God's sight? And you say, Pastor, why do you keep harping on this? Because I'm very concerned that a lot of us still hold on to an incorrect theology that somehow we clean ourselves. You can't do it. You can't do it. I was working on something in my shop, and I got grease on my hands. And I was like, I wasn't sure exactly what type of grease it was, but I kept trying to, you know, get some water and some type of soap, and it just wasn't cutting it. And then I thought, well, here's a specific grease cleaner. And oh, wow, that took care of it. I think for some of us, we just kind of mess up. We don't realize we're trying to cleanse ourselves through just being good. And so we don't have the full appreciation of what it means and what Jesus has done for us and how we can walk in fellowship with Him, okay? So what you believe is important. There's a righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And this word believe, this is an awesome word. It's the same word in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son that whosoever believeth. This word believeth, it's the Greek word pistuo. And this word pistuo means that it's talking about a faith that's all in. It's not just like, yeah, I think that that's right. Or I can probably mentally agree with a fact. It is being so in. I'm 100% all in. It is belief to the point of action. I so believe it that it changes how I act and how I walk out my life. Can you look at your life and you say, yep, that's the belief that I have in Jesus? That's something that I want us to examine. Dr. Jonas Salk, we talked to him several weeks about Dr. Jonas Salk and the polio vaccine and how he injected himself. He believed it so much that he injected himself. I believe it so much that my actions reflect it. So the righteous actions, the righteous, those people who are righteous through our faith in Jesus Christ, our actions are judged and rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ is not to see who gets in heaven or in hell. When, in fact, in the judgment, if you want to look at Scripture, there's the word bema is used about the judgment seat of Christ here, when the righteous are judged. So, do your deeds matter? In terms of getting you into heaven, look, it's your belief that matters, but your deeds are important. And so the flip side is I want everybody to know how you act matters. Because that's the flip side of why I felt compelled to do it. Because I think a lot of us really need to be reminded that how we live matters. Why? Why are our deeds important? Well, number one point is this. You were created for good works. And if you go ahead and put Ephesians right up there. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. This has been our verse the past 2 weeks. Let's all read it together. 1, 2, 3. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So beforehand, God prepared some things for you to do. How about that? Well, I got to come up with some. You know, God prepared some works for you. He prepared some good deeds for you. And that's important. You know, a lot of us go through our lives and we think, man, I'm here for a greater reason. I'm here. You are here on this earth for more than just being a good consumer. You are here on this earth for more than just your own personal survival. You are here to have an impact for the kingdom. God has gifted you with talents and giftings for a purpose, and these are not all just for yourself. So what are you doing with what God has entrusted to you? You know, when you see things that were created and they're being used according to how they are created, it's neat. How many of you like to make spaghetti? Any spaghetti makers? My daughter grossed me out. She had a friend over and she was making spaghetti and she put food coloring. And so she made the spaghetti like blue. I was like, why? It's like, it's cool. It's going to be cool when you have Smurf teeth. It looks like you ate Papa Smurf. That's not cool. It's not. Goodness gracious. And she's like, she just thought it was kind of cool. And so she reached that little claw thing, you know, the little claw spaghetti grabber. I think that's the official name, the claw spaghetti grabber thing. And have you noticed that there's like a little hole in the bottom? And you think, yeah, what is that hole for? It's to drain water, stupid. No, it's not. That's one of the, but the, you know what that hole in the bottom of the spaghetti scooper thingy claw is actually to measure out one serving. Y'all didn't know that now, did ya? I Googled it to check. Because if it's on the internet, it's true. Right? You know, so some of you are like, wow, what's one serving of spaghetti? Take your noodles, drop it through. What comes through that little hole? That's one serving. Life hack. Well, I'm glad I went to church. Here's something I get. It's neat when you use things for what they were intended to be used. Here, put a little picture here. Is this being used for what it was intended to be used for?
Yes.
Yes. It is a $1,100 clothes hanger. Yeah. And so, because it's not being used according to its purpose, it is taking up space, and so we find a use for it. That's what so many people in the church are living their lives just like that. If you find yourself taking up space and trying to find a use for it, honey, God made you for a specific purpose. I wish I could get, I'm preaching better than you're listening. My gosh. Someone should be, yeah, pastor, yeah. Amen, pastor. We hear you. Yeah, okay, so I was packing the other day. I've done a lot of traveling here recently, and I'm kind of entering a season where I'm kind of going to be going out, and I wasn't paying attention to my packing. I actually put this on Facebook. So, when you pack in a hurry, that is anti-itch cream. Was that what the purpose for which it was created? It was not. Yeah. Yeah. Unless you ate some poison ivy. I don't think that's, but it could have been worse. It could have been this. Enough said. Yeah. All right. So it could have been worse. So you are used. You have been created for a purpose. And I want you to know that that purpose, you were created for good works. You were created for relationship with God. You were created to reflect God's glory, to reflect His love. There's a reason you are here. There's a reason you have breath. God has good deeds that He created before you ever shown up on this earth. He knew you were going to be here at this. Well, why am I here in Pike County? I just don't understand it. For God's purpose. For God's purpose. For God's purpose. Take your hand, put it on yourself, say, I have purpose. About three of you did. You have purpose, okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16 said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Your good works are a form of evangelism. When you serve God, you can help lead people to understand, to give God glory. Good works serve as an example for younger believers. You know what? People should... So the next generation, that's why I get people like, Pastor, why you try to make us sing a certain way? Why? You know what? The next generation is looking at you. They're looking at you. And they're gonna take their cues on what it means to be a Christ follower. Are you being a good example? I think about this with my children. I think about this with the kids in the community. Are we setting the right example? Are we setting the example so that in 30 to 50 years, there is still a First Christian Church in Pittsfield? Because, you know, well, we just bulldozed a church over there in the corner. I'm not saying anything condemning or anything else. I'm telling you, if people aren't functioning in how God created them to function, the church will cease. The church is one generation away from extinction. And are we giving the right example? Or, now think about this. Jesus said, "Woe to those who cause a little one to stumble. It's better for them that a millstone was tied around their neck and they were chucked into a water." That's my translation. So there is judgment on the example that we give, gang. We need to be very, very, very careful. Your deeds are important. You are created for good deeds. That's point one. Point two, you'll be rewarded for good deeds that you have done. How many of you like a reward? Yeah. No one likes? Okay, we got Hamer likes a reward. All right. And we got four who like, five who like rewards. That's great. That is fantastic. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Jesus is talking to us. There's no way we can take this away from how Jesus said. Jesus said this. This is important. "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." There's going to be a reward for your good deeds. Yay! Now, I hope that that's not your only motivation. You see, what irks me is people say, you know, you should do good works. That way you have treasures in heaven. Yeah, you're going to have treasures in heaven. It's kind of a selfish motivation to say it's all about me. And you know people who've done things for you and their heart wasn't in it. Aren't they lovely people to be around? I'm serving food at the soup kitchen. And I got a clothespin on my nose and I'm staying as far away as possible. Here you go. Don't infect me. Versus the people who are called and understand that I have an opportunity to share Christ. So your deeds will be rewarded. Revelation chapter 14, 13. I say this a lot of times at funerals. I quote this verse. "And I heard the voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds will do what? Follow them." I tell you what, Your faith gets you in. I heard a pastor describe it like this. Your faith gets you into the house, but your good deeds help furnish it. So for a lot, and again, I don't like that motive personally. I don't like that motivation of I'm doing things so I can get, I'm doing things because that's why I started with point number one. You were created to do good works, not take up space. So point two is you will be rewarded for good deeds. That's fantastic. Well, let's see the point number three. You'll be rewarded for how you endure hardship or persecution. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, what this didn't say is, "Blessed are you who are persecuted for being a jerk." There's a difference. There are some people who, quite frankly, you know, sister prickly pear, you know, it's, you know what I'm talking about? The people who've got a Bible bullet for everything, and they just like to suck the joy out of everything and tell you how bad you are doing. Look, if you act like a jerk and you get persecuted, you got it coming to a certain degree, right? I'm talking about when you take a stand for Christ. And guys, you don't have to have that good of an imagination to see how, even in our free society, that it could turn very, very quickly. We have teachers who lose their job. We have high school football coaches who lose their job because after a game, they pray with their kids at center field. No, we got problems with that. As a society, we're so bent on those things. Gang, that day is coming, and is coming soon. I have a newsletter, an evangelism newsletter, a missionary newsletter, and they were talking about this past week, Christians who are being murdered in the Middle East throughout various sites. People who are standing for the gospel and trying to bring the hope of salvation and who are murdered, who are killed, who are martyred because of their faith. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others will revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." People like to quote this verse, you know, when they're going through hard times. I get it, but no, the application of this verse is when you stand for Christ, there are people who are gonna give it to you, not in a positive way. And there's a blessing. He goes, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great on the earth." Is that what it says? Where is your reward? And I talk to people and they're like, "Well, you know, God let them down. You know, we hope this." And then God let them. How could a loving God allow someone who's sharing the gospel to be persecuted and to, you know, be martyred? You know what? This is not the end game, gang. This isn't it. That's the great news. This is not the end game. "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Matthew 19, 29 through 30 says, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." I always am sad when Jesus, in his interaction with the rich young ruler, who's having the conversation about eternal life, and some people translate that of, you know, "Oh, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven." He wasn't saying that's how you get to heaven. He was pointing to something greater, and so that rich young ruler walked away sad. He walked away sad because Jesus told him how you can have something better. When you're so attached to this earth, gang, when we are so attached to this earth, we can miss out on why we're really here. You are not here just for this time. Let me say that again. You are not here for just this time here on earth. You are here for something greater. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 28. And we've just got one more point. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me forever. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then will repay each person according to what he has done. Yes! Ah, we've got some wonderful treasures, and I don't want you to miss out. And so in trying to help you not miss out, my final point is important, but not as important as the first three, but it is important. My final point is this. Good works require good motives. Good works require good motives. Proverbs 16:2, the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. I like to translate that, God knows what's really going on. God knows what's really going on in the heart. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. I don't want us to miss out. We can miss out on some of the potential rewards that God has for us when we suffer wrongly, and then we try to reap the rewards, when we do things and we want to be seen, we want it heralded, we want everybody to know of what we've done. How about this? I just want God to know what I've done. That's what's most important. I don't need anything else. I don't need people heralding my name to say this and that and the other thing. Here's what's important to me. God keeps track, and God is the judge. And so I want to encourage all of us. You know, here's a couple questions that we should ask ourselves. Do I get irritated when I don't get acknowledged for something that I have done? You know what's sad? Is in my tenure here, sadly, you know, we've even lost church members because of that. That breaks my heart. I mean, certainly I want to encourage people, but it just breaks my heart to hear, well, no one cares. And I thought, what do you mean? No, everyone cares. But you know what? Who cares most is God. And quite frankly, that's sometimes the proving ground. But I tell you what, certainly there's been seasons in my life that I've gone through things and I look around and relationships, they kind of get under my skin like everybody. Do I get jealous when other people get acknowledged? Do I get jealous when I think, well, what, did not, that I should... That I should be given opportunities and other people don't. Does that just irk me, and does it give me a foul spirit? Do I look for ways to serve instead of having to be always asked and begged? Do I get frustrated at the inconvenience of service? Do I get overcritical at others' work, or do I quietly and humbly try to help others succeed? Do I judge success and failure? This is a big one, gang. Do I judge success and failure based on what other people say versus on being faithful to what God has called me to do to the best of my ability? Gang, I want us to grow. These are hard questions, but I believe that we should give them some reflection and some meditation. You're saved by grace. The blood of Jesus is what washes us and covers our sins. We are also going to give account of how we live. We are going to give account of the stewardship. Our works and deeds with impure motives will not withstand the test of fire. But our good deeds and faithfulness in enduring hardship and persecution for righteousness' sake will be rewarded.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.